My name is Simpson. Everyone calls me Simo. I am mainly seen around all the sites leading worship. So my family are based in Bognor, and I suppose that is my base. But because I head up the worship team, I go around to Midhurst, Havant, Bognor, and Chichester. I love coming here. I love coming to all the sites. I do love coming here. I love seeing the Midhurst people. I love seeing the fact that this site is growing. I love seeing the fact that these people are passionate about Jesus Christ. I was on holiday in Portugal when you had your fun week, and I was seeing the reports and seeing some of the things that were sent back, and I was jealous. Even though I was in the sunshine, hot Portugal, I was like, oh, I wish I could be there. It seemed like it was fantastic. And hearing the reports, it was really good. I've had a really good summer, and God bless me. One of the, I don't know if it's a highlight, but one of the main things that happened to me in the summer was we were doing a barbecue at my house, and my wife sent me out to get some goods for the barbecue, as you do. And me being quite a quiet person, as you would know, I was in Lidl. And I saw, many of you would know Toby Stathers. So Toby Stathers leads worship at Chichester. But he'll also travel about a little bit. He also works for Compassion, so he does talks for Compassion. And I hadn't seen him for a while. So Toby Stathers, who's married to Nettie, he was in Lidl. And I thought to myself, I'm going to sneak up on him and scare him. You know, because I haven't seen him for ages. So I went to the side of him. What I planned to do was, he was standing like this, right, looking at the shelf. And I was planning to sneak beside him. And when he turned around, I was going to go, boo. I thought, nah, I'm not going to do that. I know he's ticklish. So what I did, I went behind him and I lifted him up and tickled under his armpit, and he was squealing. And then I dropped him laughing, and my guest was standing beside me, and he was looking at me sheepish. And the bloke turned around, and it wasn't Toby Stathers. The worst thing about it was I went to this bloke, oh, sorry, Toby. And I was like, you're not even Toby. I don't know why I'm saying you're Toby's today, but he was all right. The bloke was all right, but I forgot the groceries, ran out of the store, and went to another shop, as you do. It could only happen to me. But that was one of the highlights of my summer. Another one was West Point. West Point is brilliant. Really enjoy that. I want to speak to you this morning on Psalms 1. I want to thank Humphrey this morning for just being obedient and hearing from God. Sometimes we can, in our seats, hear from God. And we can just almost be nervous. I've been there, I've done it. Sat on my seat thinking, nah, I don't think it's from you. And then somebody else will bring a word. And I just think that God is prompting this church. And he's saying, listen, I'm going to speak. I'm speaking to you. And I want you to move. I want you to be obedient to what I say. Even if it seems that it may be, you know, something of yourself. I just really believe that God will prompt you to bring the prophetic, bring the word. I think he'll prompt you to come out to the front and pray. And I want to encourage you as a church, as Midhurst people, as people start to come in, I want to encourage you to be bold, to step out, to pray, to read from the word of God, to be prompted in your spirit by God and act upon it. Okay, the title of my talk is God's Recipe for a Blessed Life. There are two paths in this life. One is blessed by God and one is not. It's only two. One path leads to life and one path leads to death. Which one are you on? How do you get on a good path that is blessed by God? In today's talk, of the Summer of Psalms series, I want to share with you about our choices, about the choices that we make that impact receiving a blessing from God. Okay, I'm not really going to delve into the historical background of Psalms, because most of us, I think, would know it, but the book of Psalms is a hymn book. The chapters are really songs. There are 150 psalms, the majority of which were written by David, 73 of them, to be precise. The book of Psalms is primarily about God and his relationship with creation, his creation. The Psalms demonstrates that God is both powerful, he's a powerful God, and he's a tender-hearted father. He's revealed as a powerful God, king, judge, avenger, creator, healer. And he's also shown, he's shown to be a tender-hearted father, shepherd, provider, refuge, protector, redeemer. This is all in the Psalms. This is who he is. So with that, let's read Psalms chapter 1. In saying, there was many psalms that I could have chosen, all right? As a worship leader, I could have chose many different psalms in the Bible, all right? There's so many people that would choose ones to do with worship, and everything in Scripture leads to worshiping God, everything. So when God prompted me to go this way, I was reading it, I was thinking, really, God, Psalms 1. I'm so glad it just kept coming to me, Psalms 1. And let's just read Psalms 1. It says this: blessed are those who do not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers, but who delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on his law day and night. They are like trees planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaves do not wither. Whatever they do, prosper. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the ways of the righteous, but the ways of the wicked will be destroyed. And I think that's ESV. I'm reading from the NIV. So the question I have to ask is, what are you willing to do to live a blessed life? Everyone wants a blessed life. Everyone. I mean, you ask, I've never ever approached somebody and said, oh, how are you, you know, what sort of life do you want to live? And they've gone, oh, I want to be unhappy. You know, I want a miserable life. I mean, there are times that you think that. You know, there's times that you look at some people and you think that, they always seem grumpy. But I've never known anybody who wants to live a life that they don't want to be blessed. Just imagine that. So everyone wants to be blessed. People want a lot of things in life. They want good things. They want nice things. But the problem is they're not driven enough or disciplined enough to put the hard work in. I know that with the work that I'm in, I run a decorating business, and sometimes I've said to some of my guys, look, you could run your own businesses. Oh, nah, too much hard work. Wouldn't want to do that. And it's like, you've got the skill set. You could do this. You know? You could make your own business and no, I'm happy to just do what I'm doing. And it's like, there's people in this world that are not driven enough and don't want to do the hard work. Well, the same goes with a blessed life. You can't just wish for a blessed life, hope for a blessed life, want a blessed life, or even, a matter of fact, pray for a blessed life. You have to live a blessed life. And God gives us the perfect recipe in Psalms 1 for us to live out a blessed life. Before we get into this, let me just point out a few things and we will examine in Psalms 1. First thing, it's a psalm of contrast. The first word in Psalms 1 is blessed. That's the first word. The last word in the Psalms is destruction or perish. The psalm is a contrast between the righteous, sort of like godly, and the wicked, ungodly. God only sees people as being righteous or ungodly. We must choose the path of righteousness so that we may receive the blessings of God in our lives. You either want to be blessed or not. You either want to live for Him or you don't want to live for Him. You either want to walk in righteousness or walk in unrighteousness. What would you choose? To be blessed or not blessed? It's a psalm of contrast. Please, let's not be offended. I know, because there's times where, I know my dad used to go to people. Now, my dad is proper old school, and he's from the school where he was legalist. I come from the New Testament Church of God, Pentecostal, grew up in that years ago, you know, left there 30 years ago. But my dad would be, oh, you're ungodly, and he would just say it, and people would be offended. And it weren't that he was saying a wrong thing, but it was the way that he would say it. But it's almost like, mate, if being righteous is being like you, this is what I used to think. Being righteous is being like you and saying things like that to people. I'd rather stay like this. Yeah, because he was so in your face at times. But let's not get offended by the word ungodly. We as people are either pursuing God or not. We're either living for God or not for Him. And we're either for Him or against. There are only two types of people in this world, as I've said, righteous and godly, or unrighteous and ungodly. Not only is the Psalms a contrast, but it's a psalm of influence. Who or what are you allowing to have influence on your life? We need to be careful about who or what is having influence on our lives. It's a true statement that we'll become like the people who we associate with or hang around with. I'm a living testimony to that. In the fact that I grew up in Liverpool, and I used to almost, I mean, I grew up in the church, and at the age of 13, I was like, nah, I'm not really interested in that. And I saw what my mates were doing, and I thought, that looked good. That looked fun. That looked dangerous. And that looked risky. As in risky, as in if I got caught and the police found out, I'm in trouble here. But that didn't scare me. So I went on that edge of things, and I was influenced by the people that I chose to be around. I was influenced by the company that I wanted to be with at the time. And my parents used to always say to me, good company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. As in, you know what? If you hang about with bad people, you become like that. If you hang around with good people, guess what? You'll be influenced by them and you become like that. We need to be careful who we hang around with. It's also a psalm of blessing. It's a psalm of blessing that assumes we understand something about blessing and that blessings come from God. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above. It's important to recognize that God is the sole source of blessing, of blessings in our life. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So it's assuming that we know this. It's true, however, that many people don't follow after the Lord, but would still, in a sense, lead somewhat what people would call a blessed life. There are people out there that we can look at and that you think to yourself, well, they seem to have it all together. They seem to be wealthy. They seem to be happy. They seem to be living a lifestyle that other people would crave for, that other people would call, they are blessed. A major point of emphasis would be that these people are not necessarily happy or content, no matter how successful and wealthy they are. The question becomes, to what degree are they happy and satisfied? There are many people in this world that are very successful, they're very wealthy, and have achieved major achievements in life, but they're still not happy and they're miserable. And you can see that. They often ask the question, why is my life still empty? True contentment, happiness, and blessings can only be found in Jesus. And they don't understand this. They don't understand that that can only come by having a relationship with Jesus Christ. We can just look out there, look at the celebs. They have all the money, all the fame, all the friends that they need to have, but yet still a lot of them seem to be in rehabs, you know, recovering from drug addictions, lonely, empty, dissatisfied, or even died in the prime of life. We can name but a few. Amy Winehouse, Kurt Cobain, Jimi Hendrix, Heath Ledger, Janis Joplin, all died in their 20s. All of them. And it's not because they were happy, but because something was missing. Something was missing in their life. Simon Cowell, multi-billionaire, music mogul, he was quoted saying, I get to points in life where I think I'm never going to be happy. If you don't understand this chapter, you're never going to understand why it is that some people can have everything and yet feel like they have nothing, or why they can accomplish so much and yet be so empty. And I may be talking to people in this room. We can seem like we've got it all sewn up, but yet still feel empty inside. Before we start looking and applying this chapter to our lives, I want everyone to understand that if God doesn't do another thing for you and me, we are already blessed. Particularly compared to other people in this world. If he doesn't choose to do anything else for you and me, we are already blessed. Psalms 1 is a recipe, so to speak, for us to follow, which leads to receiving the blessing, contentment, joy, and happiness from the Lord. So, blessed is the man or woman at that point who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Psalms 1:1. First thing to notice here is the triplet terms. It says don't walk, don't stand, don't sit, and it talks about the wicked, sinners, and mockers. Triplet terms. Don't walk, don't stand, don't sit. Wicked, sinners, mockers. That's the way the chapter begins. It's a contrast between those who know God, love God, and pursue God, and those who don't know God, don't pursue God, and rebel against him. The warning for us as Christians is that if you want a blessed life, we need to walk the path described here in chapter 1. So, if you want a blessed life, let's look at the first one. Don't walk in the counsel of the wicked, the ungodly. Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. We should never allow our lives to be directed, fashioned, or influenced by ungodly people who never have a relationship with God. Now, I'm not saying we can't dialogue with them. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying we can't work with them. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying we won't socialize with them. Because we will. Right? And we will love them. That's important to know. We have to love them. I've got people in my work who I employ. Don't know God. I love them. I work with them. I socialize with them. But my counsel does not come from them. You know, it's important to have them around, to witness to them. But we must not make them our advisors because they don't have the counsel and the wisdom of God. They're operating from an earthly wisdom. We need the wisdom of Christ in our lives and not to be subject to the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of heaven is far superior than the wisdom of this world. So that's what I'm saying. Listen, yeah, we can have them around us. We can work with them. Love them. You be their influence. Don't let them be your advisors. Don't go and seek. When you're in trouble, don't go into seek for their advice. We need the wisdom of Christ. Psalm 16:7 says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me even at night. My heart instructs me. Even when we're asleep, he will speak to us. There's times when I've often woken up and I know he's been speaking and I've jotted it down. Wrote it down. Because he's speaking to my heart. Psalms 119:24 says, your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. John 14 says this, verse 16 says this, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. It's the Holy Spirit. Guides us, leads us, counsels us. We don't lack for God's counsel. We simply lack in seeking it. We need to ask ourselves the question, who have I allowed to influence me? Who do I seek godly counsel from? Next thing is, if you want a blessed life, do not stand in the way of sinners. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the path of sinners. We must avoid the path of sinners. Let's not move in those circles or path. And what I mean by that is we don't want to isolate ourselves. We are to infiltrate, influence, and be examples. So let's not be super spiritual about it. Oh, I can't hang with you because you do not know Jesus. You know, I'm too good for you and I'm on the right path. You know, if anyone said that to me, I'd be like, you know what, you can stay on that path. Because I don't want to be on that path that you're describing. But again, it's who is influencing you. The text is not saying that. We are to meet these people, the sinners, on the path. We are to witness on the path. Just don't run in the circles that they run in. So by all means, be with them, meet with them, witness to them, speak to them, love them. But if you then start to choose to go in their circles and operate in them, in the circles, and they start having an influence on your life, that's when you're walking down the wrong path. If you want to live a blessed life, you should never be afraid to be on the road less traveled. A road that says, I am not going to compromise my Christian walk. A road that says, you know what? You can do that, but I choose to do this because of my Father that loves me. You can choose to go and do the things that you do. You can choose to hang around with people that are going to influence you in a wrong way. But I'm not going to go down that road. I choose to want to worship my Father. I choose to want to spend time with Him, getting to know Him more. I choose to want to influence and witness, be a witness to the people that are lost in this world. And there are many of them. So many times when I was growing up, I would hear my friends who were following Jesus or almost go, oh yeah, but it's all right to go into the clubs. It's all right to go into these pubs because we're being an example. We're being an example. And the next thing you know is that they were going down the circles and being influenced by their non-Christian friends and their non-Christian mates who they were meant to be witnessing to. Next thing, they were doing the things, drinking and pursuing women and guys in a way that just wasn't right. Because they'd been caught up in this, oh yeah, compromising position. Oh, it's okay because we're strong enough. Let's take the road less traveled. Because it leads to eternal life. Matthew 7, verse 13. 14 says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Let's be on the path that leads to life. The righteousness can have confidence in this. In Psalms 16, it says, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. The big thing in life that will help you decide and choose what road you decide to be on, the path you decide, is again the people that you surround yourself with. We must choose our friends and companions wisely. Be wise and discerning about who you hang around with. Let's be salt and light in the world that we live in. Let's be people that will not compromise the truth and the promises that God has spoken over your life. As again I've said before, 1 Corinthians 15, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. We must never jeopardize our future or forfeit our blessings because we are unwilling to take the road less traveled. Let's just not do that. If you want a blessed life, do not sit in the seat of mockers. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. The verse speaks about a progression. Don't walk, don't stand, do not sit. It's an overview. If we choose to be around mockers, and these are people that just do not want to know God and almost mock God. Again, I've been around people like that. And there was times I just did not say anything. Even working with people, even in growing up, just did not say anything. And something would stir within me as if to say, I need to say something. You would defend if your partner or wife or your kids, somebody was saying something about them, you would defend them 100%. You would be like, you know what? Don't speak about my wife or husband, or don't you dare speak about my kids. But when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to our Heavenly Father, and we hear people almost slandering his name or speaking about him in a way that you think, ooh, that's not right, we tend to almost shy away. We need to be people that, one, will not stand for it and will stand on the truth, and two, let's defend his name. We must never be comfortable living or being closely associated with those who mock God. We must either leave or defend the honor of the Lord when people mock. Not because the Lord, listen, God doesn't need us to defend him. He doesn't need us to defend him. But we need to do this as a demonstration of our love for the Father. He doesn't need us to defend him. We need to do it for ourselves as we demonstrate the love for our Father. Let's not get comfortable in areas where people are mocking God. Let's not contribute to that. This is one of my favorite bits. If we want to live a blessed life, it says this in chapter 2. Delight and meditate in verse 2. Delight and meditate on the word. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. Delight and meditate go together. You will only meditate on something that you delight in. I love food and I love sport. There's times when I know my wife is cooking a roast chicken during the day, I'm thinking about that. You know, I'm meditating on that because I like it. There's times where Liverpool are playing and, you know, they'll be playing at in the evening. So I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking, for all you Man United supporters, I feel your pain. Because there's nothing that delights you at the moment in that. But I'm thinking about that game. And because I delight in sport. I delight in, so I'm meditating on it. You will only meditate on something you delight in. I don't meditate on ballet or croquet because I don't like it. Sorry for those who do like it. You can meditate on that all you like, but I personally don't like that. So it's not something that I will meditate on. You will not meditate on the Word of God unless you first delight in it. And you will not delight in the Word of God unless you first understand it. The Word of God is His revelation and His love letter to us and for us. It is God expressing His love for you and me. He's the provider. He's our healer. He's our comforter. He's our savior. He's our so many things. I will say this, you will find great delight in the Word of God when you fall in love with the author. When you start to have a relationship with Jesus and fall in love with Him and realize how much He loves you, you will delight in His Word. And ultimately, you will then meditate on it day and night. To delight in God's Word means we must take reading the Bible one seriously and we must make it a habit, an habitual part of our lives. So we think about it on a daily basis. So when you are going through life and you're going through difficulties, it just rises up within you. One of the things that cows do, they chew the cud. So they eat the grass and they eat their food and they swallow it down. And then during the day, they can bring it back up, regurgitate it and chew it again and enjoy it. Just imagine that. I'd love that. You know, as in eating my favorite jerk chicken and then halfway through the day. Oh, yeah. Or Krispy Kreme donuts, knowing that you're going to get two helpings of Krispy Kreme donuts. Most of you are going, ugh. But that's what the Word of God means. When we get it so into us, when we get meditating, and the Word is so in us, that during difficult times, or throughout the day when you're maybe a little bit tired, or maybe a little bit struggling, the Word rises up within you. Psalms 145 says this. It says, the Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving to all that He's made. He's faithful to all His promises and all that He's made. A blessed life is one that delights and meditates on God's Word. If you do things His way, you will live a blessed life. You will live life like this in Psalm 3. It says, He's planted. He's like a tree planted. And Humphrey read this morning. He's like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever He does prospers. If we apply these principles in our lives, the Lord will cause us to flourish, be fruitful, resilient, and prosper. That end word prosper, some people take that out of context. Their health and wealth, prosperity, gospel, it's bad bad teachings, bad theology. The Hebrew word for prosperity is salash, which means to have successful venture. It basically means God is going to help us do well in life. This doesn't mean that we are not going to have troubles. It just means God's favor will be upon you. God does allow people to prosper. God does allow people to be wealthy. Let's not get that wrong. But he allows people to be wealthy to do his promises and to bless people. His favor is upon us. So we look at, quickly, we just look at life without the Lord's blessing. Well, it says in Psalms 1:4, it says, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. You can't lay claim to these wonderful gifts, wonderful promises, if you're on the wrong path. You can't lay claim to the blessings that God lays out before us if we're on the wrong path. These don't apply to you. If you want to live your life in rebellion towards God, if you want to live in a way that, well, we know, I know best, that's fine. I'm not here to condemn anybody and say, no, you can't do, you shouldn't. That's fine. You can do that. And many people do. Many people choose to live like that. But they're forfeiting the blessing of God. Do not think that you will experience the happiness and contentment that comes only through Jesus Christ if you live in a way that says, no, I'm going to walk a different path. Let's choose life today. Let's choose to want to live for him. Let's choose to want to stand for him, want to sit for him, I want to walk for you. I want to meditate on your scriptures, Lord, day and night. I want to live this blessed life. I don't want to live a life that ends in death. It's good news. In John 3:16, the Lord helps us to see that he's made a way for us to have life today. In addition to eternal life, you will not perish with the wicked. He flipped the script. You know, I lay my life down so that you can live. So that you don't have to perish. So that you don't have to die. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life, have everlasting life. That's for you today. And as I get the band up, as we land this, God would want each and every one of us to live in a way that we can receive his full blessing. We can receive his grace. We can receive his mercy. For he loved the world. He loves us so that we will not perish. Let's just stand to our feet. As we sing, what would your response be this morning? Would you choose to live life and live in the blessings of Psalms 1? And walk in everything that he has for you? Would you choose to want to say, God, I give my life to you fully? There may be people in here that are just, yeah, living for God, but they're almost like compromised their walk, compromised their faith. And they don't know that balance of saying, God, I want to live for you. I want to meditate on your word. I want to stand for truth. As we worship, there's going to be an opportunity for prayer. For those who may not know Jesus and want to know it. I want to make that an opportunity there. I'll be at the front. If that is anyone here that just wants to say, God, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want to live in a way that allows me to receive your blessing. And there's also another response of saying, God, I want to fall more in love with you. I want to meditate on your scriptures. I want to receive everything that you have for me and more. As I live my life for you. If that's you, I want to pray for you as well. We'll be at the front. So Father God, I thank you for everything that you're doing. Thank you for those that have heard the word. Thank you for Psalms 1. Thank you that we'll be like trees planted by streams of living waters that shall not wither, that shall not die, and that bears fruit. Father God, help us to know now, Lord Jesus, that there's only two ways. Your way or not your way. Help us to live and choose to live for you wholeheartedly and not compromise your truth. Thank you for all that you're doing in your name. Amen.